Rob Francis said Dawson with you. Joining us on the line is Senator Jim Honeyford. And Senator Honeyford, good afternoon to you. Thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
Good afternoon. Hope the sun's shining there.
It is. We had a little bit of rain off and on today, some sun showers. We know that it was very dark and cloudy over in Olympia today as the Democrats released their...
Continuously.
Yes. As Democrats released their operating budget for 2021, or for the next biennium, I should say. And Senator Honeyford, what are your thoughts on Democrats basing a good portion of their spending on an unconstitutional tax?
Well, I think I believe that if the courts are honest, and I say that because I believe we have an activist Supreme Court now, but they would find it unconstitutional if they're honest with us. And so it's based on that and also on the carbon tax bill, both of those. And they also drain the rainy day fund to zero. And so, you know, with all the new revenue and the federal dollars coming in, there's never enough.
Well, it certainly doesn't seem like it's ever enough. And at what point in time, Senator, do we start to see the ramifications of this? I mean, first, there was a study that came out about 6 weeks ago that Washington was the only state that did not have an income tax that saw a decrease in population over the course of the last year. At what point in time are Washingtonians going to say, I've had enough, and they're going to leave, in which case that tax base dwindles?
Well, I understand even the Seattle population is declining. People are concerned about the incidents this last summer and defunding of police and the increased response time. They're even short 200 police officers. That is coming home to roost, and as I understand, people are leaving.
Well, and they are leaving apparently in amounts that your counterparts on the other side of the aisle don't seem to recognize, because all we seem to hear about are more ways to drain the pockets of Washingtonians.
I can't disagree with that.
We're talking with Senator Jim Honeyford here on the Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA.
Now, Senator Honeyford, when the Senate Democrats kind of broke down their budget, they looked at, obviously the expenditures as well as the revenue. And you touched on one of the sources of the revenue being that capital gains tax. One of the other big ones was the federal funding that comes in. That is, we all know, presumably a one-time thing that is going to come into the state. What kind of conversations do you plan to have, if any, with your colleagues across the aisle when this budget is debated about the uncertainty of the expenditures they put, or not the expenditures, but the revenue, I should say, they put into their budget?
Well, I plan on doing that. The capital gains tax, that is really a rather unstable source of revenue, and so that's going to fluctuate widely. Federal funds, using them now, I haven't really had a chance to go through the operating budget. It was just released today, but if we're relying on federal funds for operating budgets, that creates a huge bow wave in the future, and of course, then we'll have to have more taxes to cover that.
Going back to the capital gains tax, at every turn, at least the leadership in the legislature on the Democratic side, you won't hear Governor Inslee talk about this, but the legislators in Olympia, the Democrats, are basically saying, yes, we are going to push this forward, and yes, we expect it to get challenged in court. Has this been the plan all along, do you believe, to put the longstanding income tax ban to the test?
I believe so. In fact, we have emails from certain Democrat senators, and that is the plan, to be able to put an income tax. I hope that this will be challenged, that our activist Supreme Court will rule as constitutional. That opens the door to us having an income tax, and that has been their end goal, I think, all along. I really believe that.
One of the other, it looks like, you know, and I know that you haven't taken a deep dive into their plan yet, but it looks like the two biggest buckets of money are for schools, not only addressing the COVID pandemic and things along those lines, but just K through 12 and higher education as a whole, education as a whole. The other one is healthcare. And in many different forms, tax breaks, supplemental help, and other opportunities. Are what sort of things in either of those two buckets do you think Republicans would be most in favor of, even if it meant spending a little bit more in either education or in the healthcare sector?
I really believe that we will support schools, maybe not at the level that are requesting. We, and I don't see it on my desk right now, but we received an email which included all of the school districts, how much money they received in the first, second, third federal bailout plans, and what their reserves are. And of course, any school district that has 10% or less reserve, they need to be watching carefully. If it gets down to 7, they really got to watch it. But I think we would, I really believe that Republicans would support keeping our schools relatively whole. On health care, our health care authority that manages some of the health care plans, we've tried to get some savings implemented through that, and $200 million, I believe, was in last year's budget. This year, the operating budget threw up their hands and gave them $200 million. So I believe there are efficiencies to be found in the healthcare system. Excuse me.
We're talking with Republican Senator Jim Honeyford of Sunnyside here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA.
Senator Honeyford, you sit on the Agriculture, Water, Natural Resources, and Parks Commission, and there's a law that was passed, and there's been some wrangling over it and certainly some pushback on it from the ag industry, which deals with the new overtime situation. Which industries in agriculture in Washington State are going to get impacted the most from this? And do you see there being a significant amount of fallout that impacts production and export of goods in certain ag industries in Washington State?
Yes. First of all, ag industries in the state of Washington are price takers. Our hardworking farmers don't get to set the prices for the products they sell. They have to take what comes. And you look at some of the big marketer, Walmart, Costco, and those, they will come out to a farmer and said, this is what we'll give you for your crop. It's either take it or leave it. So the ag overtime issue, I think, is probably more so in the dairy industry, and also your harvest crops, apples and things like that, that you need to get the crops off in a timely fashion so they are ready and fresh for the market. Those are the two, I think, that will be hit the hardest. The concern I have is that the current form of the bill does prohibit looking back 3 years, and that was a step. That's why I voted for the bill. It came out of Labor and Commerce and Tribal Affairs, not out of the Ag Committee. Might have had a different life if it had, but it didn't. So we think there should be some exemption for harvest time. Should be some consideration on some of your larger farms, provide some of the farm managers a pickup truck to drive. They maybe give them a house in the cattle business. They're often likely to give them half a beef or something like that. There's no consideration of those benefits other than strictly working overtime. And so there's room to go. The bill's now in the House. We've been told that the chair of the Labor Committee over there said the bill is dead if there is any harvest exemption, so that looks like it'll have to be a bill for next year to try to get it through. But Those are the two that I see, and I do know that some dairies are looking at other states to go to. I know of one that moved a dairy to Oregon and has another dairy now just starting up in South Dakota. So it's not that they're going to be here forever. And if we we had the plastics ban, which would impact the plastic for milk containers, ag over time, the requirements the DOE puts on for manure lagoons, double lining, excuse me, when triple or when single lining isn't good enough, they claim, all those things drive up the cost of the farmer. And I believe the milk prices are generally set out of the Midwest, and so we don't really have a long or large say in what the price of milk is. So, and it's been quite volatile the last few years. So I think those that industry is particularly in danger of leaving the state.
We're talking with Senator Jim Honeyford here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA. Senator Honeyford, it usually seems that when legislation like this is passed, be it this particular bill we're talking about, minimum wage increases, so on and so forth, the message that we get from those that sponsor these bills is that, oh, this is going to put more money in people's pockets. In all reality, what we see that it does is it costs jobs because industry responds by trying to make sure that their bottom line doesn't suffer nearly as much as it could. So they respond by cutting jobs or moving their workforce, as you said, to other states. If we continue down this path, what are we going to have left in Washington State with the exception of a larger unemployment number?
I think that's about right. I've heard some of the large companies in Seattle are looking at least moving out of Seattle. It's not moving out of state. I haven't verified any of that, but it's just rumor. You look at Boeing, they moved production to South Carolina, I believe it was, and moved their headquarters to Chicago. I don't know how much longer they'll be able to stay here. It's really disconcerting to see that the impacts that these bills have on our businesses and industries. It's I'm concerned that they will be, like you said, reducing their workforce, raising prices to consumers if they can. And that's what's happening, I think, in I believe, in the restaurant industry. Others that have to compete outside the state with other similar businesses will probably be looking more at moving.
Senator Jim Honeyford of Sunnyside, the 15th Legislative District, appreciate your time today. I know you're a busy guy, and things are going to start ramping up again, going to start dealing with the budget after all the different bills that you guys have already had to deal with. We appreciate your time, and best of luck the rest of the session.
Well, thank you. I'm the ranking member on the Capitol budget, and that was released today, too. So maybe we can talk about that another time.
We certainly will. We appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you.